Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Bobby sends the ball over the top, and that is that. Game done. They are into the quarterfinals, beating championship opposition. It finishes 0-0 here, and Sunderland wins 3-1 on penalties.
That's fucking delightful. Fucking good combination playing, sliding balls into space. Good, excellent, the other one the fucking rope.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Roker Report podcast in association with the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. And you join us on the back of, well, a pretty impressive penalty shootout win for Sunderland away at QPR in the League Cup. And I'm joined by my old mate Martin. How are you doing, mate?
Excellent, thank you very much. There's not a lot better than the penalty shootout win, is there, to get the spirits up?
Well, that's it, yeah. The win, I say the win, we drew 0-0.
It's a win.
Managed to get through into the quarterfinals of the League Cup, the last 8 on penalties. For a League One club, that's some going, isn't it? I mean, we've played, I think, 2 championship teams now and made it through, so you can't complain, can you? I think I've wrote a bit about this on the site, but for fans of any team, but more so the teams like ours and like your Newcastles and your Watfords and your Wolves and your Aston Villas, you know, this is about as good as it gets, really, progression in the cups. And, you know, especially if you're a lower league team like we are, it doesn't really get much better, does it? And this is sort of a little sideshow of the league action, and obviously we're going for promotion, but all eyes are on Sunderland again, and we've followed up a disappointing result at the weekend with really a really exciting one for the fans, haven't we?
No, it's brilliant. You know, there's a few things there, isn't it? It's what you support football teams for, isn't it? It's why you follow football. It's why you sit and stand through all of those terrible games that we've all sat and stood through and watched over recent seasons, to have moments like that where you pull off a victory that, you know, I'm sure a lot of us kind of hoped we would do it and thought we might be able to do it, but I'm not sure how many of us really expected us to go there. But I think, you know, the interesting thing is with the Carabao Cup, as it is, it's not the Milk Cup anymore or the Coca-Cola Cup, is it? But with the Carabao Cup, every round we've had, we've drawn a slightly better team. So, you know, we start with Port Vale, that was a good win. But then we went to Blackpool, really good win against higher league opposition, although they were in the same division as us last season, Wigan. And, you know, when the QPR draw was made, I know some people were disappointed and wanted a Premier League tie.
That was me. I didn't want QPR away, but I'm sure, you know, in hindsight, we can see it was a good and plenty of fans there. So,
well, it was, but it just gave us that next little step up in terms of quality of opposition. I think it's been a really good test for the players just to keep taking those little steps up against better opposition. But, you know, that was class. Really good. I thought it was a really good performance, Gav. I thought the players equipped themselves really well. We made, how many changes did we make? 7 changes from, you know, what's feasibly our first choice side on Saturday. Made 7 changes, and we played really well. And I think it gives you such a lot of confidence, especially after the disappointment of Saturday. Such a lot of confidence for everybody to go into the weekend with. But it's class, and, you know, bring on the quarterfinals.
I was going to talk about that, just the way that Lee Johnson changed his team up, yet, you know, we still managed to be competitive against a really good championship team. I mean, let's not make no bones about it. Like, QPR are going to be in the mix to get promoted this season. They've got a good side. I mean, you saw the team they put out. They treated the competition with respect. They picked this they picked their strongest team. We didn't. I guess you could argue over what Sunderland's strongest team is, but the fact we made seven changes tells you it probably wasn't. But it's great, isn't it? Like, we're able to change the team up. And I think this is important because over, well, practically my whole life anyways, we've always not really took the League Cup particularly seriously, give or take one or two seasons. And I don't think in making seven changes, Lee Johnson isn't taking it seriously. He's just totally changed our whole approach as a club to cup competitions, hasn't he? Like, and we treat the League Cup slightly differently to how we treat the trophy. But ultimately, the team he puts out in any given game are expected to go out and compete. And when I saw that starting 11, I wasn't worried at all when I saw it, because I thought, well, even though he has made a bunch of changes, that is still a very good team. And I mean, you can go right through it. Like, I know Hume got injured early doors, but played quite well. Certain came on for him. It's like, you know, could even QPR make a change as good as that? Then you've got Fred Alves and Wright, who are both probably desperate to impress. Both did themselves no harm, really. You've got Winchester. You've got the midfield three that were played, which was Neil, O'Neill and Evans. And that was a different tactical approach. He's went with something a little bit more solid, knowing that we'd be playing a good team trying to break at us with pace. Diaco came in. Gooch came in to return from injury. You know, so, I mean, that's still a strong team, isn't it? You can't really sit here and... I think even had we lost the game and we were sitting now talking about, you know, us crashing out of the cup or whatever, I don't think you could sit and slate Lee Johnson for the changes he made, because he still ultimately picked a good side, hasn't he?
Well, that's it. No, you wouldn't slate him at all. He wouldn't criticise it, because, you know, throughout the summer, he made it very clear that, you know, he wasn't buying or building the first 11 plus some subs. He was building a squad of 22, 23 players who all should be competing for first team places. And really, you know, even if that had been a league game, you know, you wouldn't have necessarily complained too much about some of the changes he made. I think, you know, the ones that would have raised eyebrows in the league game obviously would have been Burge in goal and Denver Umit at left back instead of Serkin and Hoffman, wouldn't it? But everything else, you know, you wouldn't have been, it would have been a shock if he'd done it for a league game, but you wouldn't have gone, oh, crap, we're playing a weakened side here, because they're all, you know, really good players. And I think, you know, I've written a little bit about this on the site today. Like, the cups have come at a really good time for us, because, you know, after that Charlton game on Saturday, players are going to be down. This cup game's given us, one, the chance of getting a bit of confidence back before we go into a tough run of games starting with Rotherham on Saturday. But it's also given players a chance to impress, to get into the team for those games. Now, if we'd gone from Charlton to Rotherham, and, you know, you've got the likes of Gooch, Diaco, Evans, people like that, it would have, you know, Lee Johnson would have had to have been quite brave to drop four or five players from the Charlton game for the Rotherham game.
Yeah.
But now, off the back of this game, you're going, well, Corey Evans has to start on Saturday. Gooch has to start on Saturday.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's given himself, and, you know, all credit to the players for playing themselves into positions where they're making them make a tough decision. But all of a sudden, you've got all these players who you can kind of go, oh, all right, they probably deserve to be starting the next game. And I tell you, like, Gooch, you know, I thought Gooch had a decent game. He wasn't outstanding, but we've missed his, like, aggression, his tenacity, even, you know, getting stuck into the referee a bit and standing up for the team, because
he likes that, doesn't he? He likes getting himself involved with the referees, but sometimes we are a little bit soft, and we could do with somebody who's a bit more like that. I mean, we probably could have done with a bit more of that on Saturday. So
well, he's the only player that we've got who really does that. Like, Larson was always a good one for it, wasn't he? When he was here, but it's I think it's important to have some players in the team who'll really stand up for the, you know, the group and do it, and he does it. But look, it was brilliant, as you say, strong squad.
Yeah,
and you know, ultimately, I know obviously we might as well talk about the disallowed goal, because that was a bad decision, wasn't it? I think we can all
it was, right, but it's probably a bit shitty. After the way the referee performed on Saturday and we got nothing, and he arguably robbed us of at least a point because he could have given a couple of decisions that would have changed the result, I don't care.
No, I don't care at all.
Because we get so many bad decisions from referees that when one eventually goes our way, I think we just have to sort of take it.
You take it.
Yeah. But it was a weird one though, wasn't it? It was a weird one. Let's talk about the goal, that disallowed goal quickly. It was a weird one because obviously I think the linesman ultimately has just been confused because Burge isn't the last line of defence in this instance, is he? There's somebody on the line behind him.
I don't know whether
that's just thrown him slightly.
Yeah, I think it has.
But his flag's gone up. I mean, there was a little instance in the build-up, and I don't know whether the cameras picked this up. I'm not sure. But when there's the cross that originally goes in about 5 or 6 seconds before Charlie Austin actually heads it in, there is somebody offside, and I don't know whether the linesman's flag went up for that. I don't know.
Well, I think
it's tough to tell, I know.
It is, but like being offside isn't an offence in itself. Like, so you've got to be active in play. So he'd been wrong if he'd given that. But like, you know, it was a bad decision for QPR. It was an incorrect decision, but as you say, we'll take it. We'll take it all day. But I think the fact that Burge came flying out, and I think it was a Sirkin that was behind him. I think that probably threw him a bit. And, you know, he's got to make an instinctive decision, hasn't he? And fortunately, he went our way.
Let's talk about Burge, actually, because I think he's one player who comes out of it with immense credit, doesn't he? He made a bunch of really good saves during the game and then saved the very first penalty, which gets you off to the best possible start in the penalty shootout. I mean, I guess you could argue that in that disallowed goal, he made a good save originally and then palmed it back into danger, which they then scored from, and obviously they didn't get awarded it. But I think we'd be nitpicking, to be honest, because his overall performance was really good. And at the end of the game, the scenes at the end of the game in front of the away end, the whole crowd was singing his name, and he seemed a bit sort of sheepish, I don't know, not used to it. He certainly hasn't had that sort of adulation from our fans since he came, because he's been hitty-missy, hasn't he? So I think it was good for him to experience that and show what he can do, and I guess you could sort of credit that to the new goalkeeper coach and the increased competition that Burgess probably faced with Hoffman coming in, because I think he knows now that he's playing for his future at Sunderland, and when he does get a chance, he's got to take it, and he played really well. You've got to give him credit, haven't you?
Oh, you have, absolutely. And, you know, that, I think when he first came in, he was sort of second choice to McLaughlin, wasn't he? And he had a couple of good games in the Cup, didn't he? I think it was away at Burnley and away at Sheffield United, where he had some really good games. You know, we've obviously seen a lot of Lee Burge over the course of the last 12, 18 months. And, we know he's a decent, good League One goalkeeper, but he's nothing more than that.
Yeah.
But if he's happy to be number two to Hoffman, then, you know, there's no better. I doubt there'd be a better second choice keeper in the league.
Yeah.
He's a really solid goalkeeper. And, you know, I think he kept us in the game at points last night. I thought their keeper kept them in the game at points last night. Both of them made some good saves. I think the competition from Hoffman, as you said, Gav, like last season, Burge's competition was Remy Matthews. You know, you might have had a bloody box of KFC or something competing against you for all the good that he would do. So, you know, that's obviously going to spur you on and raise your levels in training. And as you say, David Priest has come in as goalkeeper coach as well. So, look, it's all good. And, you know, you wouldn't have any concerns with chucking Lee Burge in for a league game if Hoffman got injured.
No.
And that's all, you know, that's the best thing you can say about a sub-keeper, isn't it?
Yeah. Was he a man of the match?
I think I think you look at the impact he had on the game as a whole, and he probably impacted the game positively for Sunderland more than anybody else, didn't he? You know, he kept us in the game. I think he actually dominated his box better than I've seen him do previously. You know, he's coming out, claiming things, punching things. You know, actually being quite sort of progressive in terms of like the goalkeeping within the box.
Yeah.
But you know, if your keeper saves the first pen, as you said, massive, massive, massive moment in the game. It was in front of their end. They had the first pen. If that goes in, the crowd's all up. It puts pressure on McGeady, who takes the next one. Yeah. That you know, was a pretty decisive moment, wasn't it? So
yeah,
I think he's got a good claim for man of the match, hasn't he? But I think there were some other good performances within the team as well. I thought Bailey Wright was really good. And I think, you know, we've criticised Bailey Wright a lot for his form over the past, well, since he returned from injury, haven't we?
Yeah,
he hasn't looked the same player as what he looked like when he came into the side. But I thought Bailey Wright was outstanding. I think he just did it simply. defended really well. But there was a lot of good performances.
You've got to give our defence credit really when you look at their attack. That's a strong championship, arguably lower end Premier League attack, I think. I mean, when you can bring Charlie Austin off the bench, you're onto something good there. And Andre Gray is a good forward, They've got a good side, haven't they? And for us to keep a clean sheet against that attack's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, they're certainly no mugs. And as you say, they're gonna be up there in the championship this season. I would have thought they'll be certainly in the playoffs. It looks as if they will from this stage of the season. They beat Everton on penalties in the last round of the cup. They're absolutely no mugs. And I think you can't underestimate, how well we actually did to get through that game.
Before we sign off then, who do you want the next round? Lee Johnson said he wanted Arsenal at Tottenham away. but who do you want?
See, I want Stoke to get through and us to get Stoke at home. So we get to the, got a better chance of getting the semi-final. I'll always go for the easiest draw on paper. And, we were the lowest ranked team in the draw last time. And we obviously are again, aren't we?
Yeah.
Now I'd rather take the opposition that we can, got the best chance of beating. So if Stoke get through tonight, I'll go for Stoke.
You're more sensible than me. I just want the hardest team. I want Liverpool or something. Yeah. To be honest, I just want to see us at some point get a really good cup draw at home where we can have a good night time game with a good atmosphere, because I think I worked it out since we dropped into this league, we've never really had a very good cup draw. We've had Premier League teams, but they've been like Burnley away and Sheffield United away.
We haven't had one at home, I don't think, have we?
No, so it would be nice just for the fans, I think, at some point. It would be a bit galling if we did get Stoke and got beat, but,
Well, that's always a danger, isn't it? let's get the big draw at Wembley.
Yeah. All right, mate. Brill. Okay. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. We'll be back with a match preview ahead of the Rotherham game. I'm going down. I don't know whether I'm doing the reaction pod there, but I might be. But we've got plenty coming. Make sure you check out rokerreport.com as per usual. People might not know, but on a match day, we have loads of build-up on the site. Doesn't cost you a penny to go across there, of course. We don't charge. We don't ask for any donations to our PayPal or digital subscriptions. It's all free. So, if you like Sunderland and you like reading the opinions of other fans, you'll like our website to head across there. And we'll catch you all later. Cheers.
Where am I going? I don't know. Where am I heading? I'm certain. All that always I am on my way.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.